Today is found in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter, concerning a lame man that was lame from his mother's womb and was healed by the wonderful power of Christ. We find Peter and John going up to the temple together at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. We have here two apostles, Peter and John, their natures so contrary to each other. As you know from history, Peter was a very bold man and very talkative, and he was very quick to do things. But John was a very mild man, and he was called the apostle of love. We find these two apostles together, more so now than before the resurrection of Christ. It appears that this apostle John, he was the only one that spake unto Peter concerning his deep fall, and likewise bringing him to a realization that his repentance was genuine, that it was of God. And this man, John, spake in all meekness and in all love to Peter. And Peter was so attached to him and became so intimate with him that he was his bosom friend from then on forever. They loved each other, these two men. And they were coming up to the temple. Two apostles filled with the Holy Ghost coming up to worship God. What a blessing to come up to the house of God, to have a desire to worship God, to join in the worship, and to seek God's countenance in prayer. It was the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. This was in the afternoon. This was the time when the priest offered up the evening sacrifice. There were three such hours that the Jews observed: at 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They assembled mostly at 3 o'clock. They all came for the evening sacrifice. Peter and John then, they came likewise. This is a good custom, my hearers, to come to the house of God at your set times. God commands us in his word that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. These two men were prompted by the Spirit of God to come there. They probably were seeking an opportunity to speak to the people in the name of Jesus Christ. They had been anointed to this end, and they were commissioned to speak the word of God. They came together then, these two men. And as they came, there was a man that was lame from his mother's womb, who was laid daily at the gate called the Beautiful, at the temple gate. And here this man was begging an alms of those that came up to the temple. We have then here a man lame from his mother's womb. What a terrible affliction, my hearers. He never walked. According to this chapter, he was above 40 years of age. When you consider this, what a life this man must have had. He couldn't work, at least he couldn't go to work. He probably had two good hands, he could work with them. But I am sure if you and I had something like this, then we would have times too that I think that this man had. When he seen others walking and running, and he never could walk, he never could run, I think he became discouraged. He became dissatisfied with what God had laid upon him. For it was from God that this had fallen on this man. He'd born this way. It wasn't through any accident or anything. And to be satisfied and to be one with the will of God in such a case, there is grace necessary. And this man then, he had no way of getting to this temple gate. In those times, probably, they had not those conveniences that we had. They probably put him on a cart and carried him over there and then lifted him off the cart and placed him in a certain position by this gate. And here he sat every day. This was the way he made his livelihood. He begged an alms of the people that went in and out. Now, this wasn't just one day, but this was continuously. Every day he was in the same position. And any number of people got to know this man. They see him sitting there. And it was usually customary for the Jewish people to take some money along with them. They usually had to pay a certain amount in the temple, and they brought some for the poor and for the afflicted. It's possible, this is my opinion, that there were people that knew this man and they seen him sitting there. And every time they went by, they never would pass him by. They would give him something. They made it a habit to give this man a little money. Some days, probably, he'd done better than others. Sometimes there were any number of people coming up, and then other times there weren't so many. So he had his good days, and he had his bad days as far as making a livelihood was concerned. And here he then lay by this gate called the Beautiful. Now this gate was 50 cubits high. A cubit, according to the measure at that time, was about 18 inches. They attribute a cubit from your elbow to your middle finger, which on an average, all depends how long your arms are, is about 18 inches. According to that, this gate was 75 feet high. Now there were 9 such gates. All the other gates, they were overlaid with silver and gold. But this gate, called the Beautiful, was overlaid with Corinthian brass, much more valuable than silver and gold. There were 15 steps which you took to go up to the gate. The gate itself was 40 cubits high. This gate was placed there by Herod the Great. He had ordered this gate to be made, and he had covered it with this beautiful brass. It was then called Beautiful. The Jews, they gave it the name of Susan, because it was so near the porch that Solomon had made in the temple. So that this gate then was used by multitudes of people going in and out. And now John and Peter are coming up to the temple. And as they come up to the gate, this man who's lying there begging in alms, he sees them coming. And he looks at them and he begged of them in alms. Now these two men, they were gifted with the Holy Spirit. They had been chosen by Christ and had been commissioned by him. And they had been given those gifts that they were enabled to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to heal the blind, and to cure those that were maimed and lame. They had done this already when Christ was on earth. They had at one time come back, and they had been doing so many wonders that they came to Christ, and they said that even the devils are subject to us. But what did he say to him? He says, glory not in these things, but glory in this, that your names are written in the book of life. These men then were gifted with this peculiar gift of doing miracles and raising up people from states and conditions which no one else could do. And now as they approached this man and he asked for an alms, Peter and John stopped. How many times Peter and John had seen this man is a question. It might be that this man had seen Christ even go back and forth into the temple. He had sat there for a number of years. He was 40 years old and upwards. And how many years he had been at this gate, the Bible doesn't say. But there's a possibility that he had seen these apostles before and even Jesus. But nothing had taken place at those times. This is according to the sovereignty of God when something like this is going to take place. And now Peter and John stopped and they looked at him. And he, speaking unto the lame man, Peter, he says, "Look on us." And he looked. He thought he was going to receive something. He thought he was going to get something better than he had ever got before. He was, but not what he was expecting. He was looking for silver and gold. He was looking for an alms. But Peter, looking at him, inspired by the Spirit of God inwardly, given the belief that God was going to do a miracle on this man, he looked at him and he said unto him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." Peter speaking the truth. "Silver and gold," he says, "have I none." How true that was. Why, these men, what were they? They were poor fishermen. They had been called away from their employment by Christ. They had followed Christ for 3 years, and Christ had nothing either. He himself says, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." They followed him, and they never got rich by following him. But they did, didn't they? They got rich, all right. They were richer than many of my hearers, I am afraid. They were men that were born again. They had the Spirit of God in them. They were the apostles of Jesus Christ. They were destined to go to heaven after they died, how rich they were. Although they didn't have much material wealth, they didn't have any silver or gold, as Peter says. "But such as I have," he says, "I give unto you." What did he have? Oh, he had by the Spirit of God that power that he could, with the help of Christ, cure those that were even in such a condition as this man was. He said unto him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," a wonderful name, my hearers. He didn't say it in his own name. He didn't say that he was going to do it with his own power, but "in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Oh, this wonderful name, my hearers. This name has a glorious power to it. This name is a name above every name. It's a name at which every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and of things upon earth and of things under the earth. This name has opened heaven for poor sinners. It is in and through this name that we are commanded to pray. Christ taught his disciples to ask in his name, "And all that thou shalt ask my Father, believing, thou shalt receive," he says. Oh, my hearers, let me give you a little point here. Whenever you draw nigh to God, always draw nigh to him in the name of his dear Son Jesus. And at times you will find access, you will find nearness through this precious name. There is no other name given under heaven, my hearers, whereby we can come nigh unto God than by this precious name. Oh, how sweet this name is to a poor sinner. How sweet it sounds upon the ear of a guilty, lost, and a condemned creature. Oh, this name, Jesus, means Savior. Christ means the Anointed One. Many times we read of the names together. And this name Jesus is sometimes about 760 times in the Bible. The name of Christ is about 60 times. This name then, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all this was the name whereby this man was to be made whole. Peter spake in his name, and he commanded him to arise and to walk. I like this about Peter. He had no doubt about what was going to happen. He wasn't in fear that it wasn't going to happen. He put forth his right hand, and he took him by the right hand, and he raised him up, just as much as to say, come on, God is doing this, not me. And immediately this man, he leaped up and he walked. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was, my hearers. What a godly wonder. Look here what God has wrought. You and I know that if someone breaks their leg or breaks their ankle, you are confined for a certain period of time in a cast, and after this it takes you a long time yet before you start to walk right. Here was a man that never walked in his life, and he immediately stood up and leaped and began to walk. He didn't need anybody to assist him. He didn't need a walker. He didn't need somebody to teach him how to walk, but he immediately leaped and walked. How wonderful is God. Oh, when God heals, when God cures, it's perfect, my hearers. If he ever cures your immortal soul, it'll be perfect too. Oh, this man, he immediately stood on his ankles, on his feet, and on his ankle bones, and he didn't shake, he didn't wobble, he stood there to the glory of God. It was then in and through Christ Jesus that this miracle took place. Oh, this man, I can picture him. He had never walked before. Well, what a wonderful thing this must have been to him. Oh, that he could immediately get up and immediately leap and walk. I don't think he ever got over it. And when he had been given this cure, then we find that he went into the temple with Peter and John. He went in walking and leaping and praising God. This is what I like about it. He went into the right place. He went into the house of God to thank God for that wonder, for that miracle that he had experienced in and through the power of Jesus' name. Oh, when he went through the temple, he held fast to John and Peter. Oh, everybody was looking at him. Everybody marveled. They wondered. They were filled with amazement at what had taken place because they all knew the man. They had seen him there for so many years. And now they've seen him walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, what a blessed state this man was in at this present time. Oh, how easy it was for him to praise God. I think he sang that song, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. He was so filled with joy and so filled with gladness and so filled with gratitude. Oh, he didn't have voice enough, I am afraid, to praise God for what had taken place with him. Oh, he held fast to Peter and John. You can understand this. They were the instruments in God's hand that was used for this purpose. And oh, how he must have been attached to these two men. Oh, he sincerely believed that they were servants and apostles of Jesus Christ. And now that he had been made whole, he wanted to know more about Jesus. He wanted these apostles to instruct him and to give him that he might find what they had found in this precious Jesus. Oh, this man was so filled with joy and happiness concerning this miracle that had taken place with him. Oh, they then in the temple who knew him and seen him, they couldn't get over it either. They wondered and were filled with amazement that they seen him doing these things. And this man, he held fast to Peter and John, would not let them go. And all the people came into the porch called Solomon's, And they congregated around him, and they wanted to know how this had taken place and what had been done to him. Oh, there was no physician used. There was no medicine used. There was nothing whatsoever, but a pure miracle from heaven had come down and had given this man this perfect cure. And this man, this lame man, he is a picture and an example of each and every one of us. Naturally, we're not born as he was. In the first place, how thankful we should be that we have two good legs, so that we aren't crippled, that God hasn't afflicted us. How do you use your legs? Many, they use them in the paths of sin and vanity and seeking after worldly pleasure. How few who have that blessing that their legs are well and nimble and quick, use them to the glory of God. Now this man, no more than he was made whole, what did he do? He used them. He went into the temple, leaping and praising God. My hearers, let me give you a little warning. Use not your legs to walk in the paths of sin and the vanity and of the world, and after the pleasures of this world, but use them in walking and coming to the house of God, in walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Pray that you may be kept from the ways of the wicked, and that you may walk worthily of the profession that you make. This man, he was in an awful state and condition, being born this way. This was in and through sin. All the afflictions that come upon mankind, even those that children are born with, they likewise are of sin. Had there been no sin, there never would be anybody that would have any illness, any afflictions, or any diseases, or anyone that would be crippled or blind. But sin, that monster, has brought all this misery into this world. And now you and I are similar to this man. He was born like this, lame. He couldn't do anything. He had to be carried. He had to beg his way and make his livelihood this way. So with you and I, we have been born in sin. We are unable to do anything towards our own salvation. And this man couldn't even work physically. So us, whatever works we would attempt to do, they are so mixed with sin, they are unacceptable to God. This man, he laid there at this gate, expecting to be provided from God by opening the hearts of the people that came up and went in and through this gate. And so, my hearers, our condition is so explained in Ezekiel 16. We likewise have been cast out to the loathing of ourselves, and we are lying like an infant in the open field. And we are in this condition that not only are we unable to do anything towards our salvation, but we are unwilling to do so. And we likewise are enemies of God, and we care not about this salvation. When we speak about this salvation, the interest of our hearers immediately like drops. When we speak about miracles, people listen. But when we speak about what is necessary to be known and what must be experienced in your very hearts, then we have no ear for it. This man is a type of you and I. And this man, he was about 40 years of age, and this miracle took place on him. It was in the providence of God. It was in the sovereignty of God. This man was in this position that he never thought he would walk anymore. He did not ask either these apostles that they would cure him or that they would teach him the way of salvation. He only asked for an alms. This is the nature of every one of us. We seek after everything in this world. We're not seeking to be healed. We're not seeking salvation. And this man wasn't either. And now God uses means. He uses instruments. He used these two apostles to cure this man. He, of course, was the person that healed him. And so God uses his servants, his word, the means of grace. If there be a sinner that God has chosen from all eternity, then in the sovereignty of God and at the providence of God in that time, then that happens to that person like it happens to this layman. He never expected to be cured. He never expected to be made whole. And so there may be some listening to me that are above 40 years of age that have said, I've heard it said, God never converts people that are so old. He usually converts people when they're young. But when you get old like us, there's no opportunity anymore. There's no chance anymore. Oh, this should be an encouragement to those that speak that way. Because we don't know what God has in store for us. This man never knew this. It was so unexpected to him, and so it is to every person to whom God does show grace. It's unexpected. It's undeserved. It's not for anything in the creature, but it's because God desires to save such a sinner, and he saves, irrespective of how old or how young that person may be. This man, then, was immediately made whole by the word of the apostle. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is in and through the word of God that sinners are born again. They are given to receive a new life. Oh, when this word takes hold of a person, oh, then, my hearers, wonders begin to take place. And let me say that if this miracle, if this wonder never takes place in your life, then you are in a sad state for eternity. If God never in his sovereignty makes choice of you and comes down with his spirit into your heart and gives you a new life, quickens you from being dead in trespasses and sins and makes you alive unto himself, then you will forever perish. These are the words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Except a man be born again, or a woman too, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And what a wonderful thing this is, my hearers, that God chooses sometimes the worst, the filthiest, the vilest, the guiltiest of sinners, and makes them an example. Oh, how wonderful is he in his dealings with the people of men. Oh, then he comes down, just as he did here, and this man, when he was spoken to, he immediately was given to arise. The apostle stretched out his head and took him by the right hand and raised him up. Oh, has God ever done that to you? Has he ever, in through the medium of his word, come down and stretched forth his hand? He's got a long arm. It's not too short that it can't reach you, that it can't save you. Oh, when he takes hold of a person and raises a person up, my hearers, what a change takes place. Then in truth, that scripture is fulfilled. A lame man begins to leap like a hart. Have you ever been given to leap inwardly? This man, he leaped immediately. Oh, when God comes with his blessed love in a sinner's soul, and when that sinner is given a certain amount of faith to believe that God loves him, that God has made choice of them, oh, what a wonder takes place inwardly, how that soul leaps. It begins to leap into communion and fellowship with God. It leaps above all the things of this world and of this life, and all it begins to walk as it never walked before. Before it walked just as others did, it walked after the course of this world. All it was to be seen that that person loved the world and served the world. But now there is such a change. That person begins to walk in newness of life, begins to walk to the honor and to the glory of God. I wish every one of you were given to walk this way, my hearers. Oh, that God might perform this miracle, this wonder upon you. Oh, when this takes place, it will be with you like it was with this man. He immediately went into the temple. Oh, how we begin to love the house of God. How we love to praise him because he shined down upon us, because he made choice of us, because he shed his love abroad in our hearts. You can't get above this wonder when God gives you to believe it, even for a few moments. Oh, it makes your soul leap and skip for joy that you, a sinner, you, a vile, polluted being, you deserved eternal hell. You, of all creatures, have been chosen and have been loved by God and separated from the multitude. Oh, then you will come up to the house of God and you will sing his praises. You won't have tongue enough to speak of the wonders of his grace, of his love, of his mercy to you. And this man went into the temple and he went in holding fast to these two apostles. Oh, he was so attached to them. So it will be with you if God uses one of his servants, if God uses even the written word, if God uses the reading of some sermon to your soul and you learn to know the author, or you will be so attached to him. God used the word out of the mouth of such a servant. Oh, so it was with this man. He was so attached to Peter and John. Have you ever had something like this in life? Have you ever been attached to some servant of God? Has he been your spiritual father? Have you been born again under the word? And have you received such a love to these servants of God? Oh, it is true, my hearers. As such creatures, they can discern between those who are not servants and who are servants. So this man, and he was in the temple, and Peter and John, they were the objects of adoration. Not that he made them idols, no. But they were the ones in and through God that had granted him this great blessing. And then all the people gathered around them, and they all wanted to know what had taken place. Oh, this takes place too in life, my hearers. If God gives you to be born again, if you begin to live an entirely different life, then others will say, what has happened? What's wrong with this person? What's taking place with such and such a one? Oh, it cannot be hid. No, you can't hide this light that God has put into your soul. As much as it gets dark afterwards, it still is his light, which he has ignited, and it will never go out. These people then in the temple, they gathered around the apostles. And these apostles, they had now a glorious opportunity to preach the word. They had come up probably looking up to God that they would be enabled to do so. And now, in and through this miracle, oh, there were so many people gathered around them. And then Peter, he began to expound unto them that they should not look on them. They weren't anybody. It was not through Peter or John that this miracle had taken place. But he directs them to the God and Father of Abraham, and who was the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He directs them to him whom they had taken, whom they had crucified with wicked hands. And they had done it ignorantly, he says, as your rulers have done also. But it was through the divine counsel of God that this had to take place, that Christ had to suffer, had to die, or otherwise there would have never been any salvation. And they began to preach the word in the temple, and oh, they had so many people listening to them. And in the next chapter, we find what a glorious harvest this sermon brought forth. 5,000 souls were saved under the preaching of this one sermon. Oh, my hearers, how many sermons we have read, and how many sermons have been spoken in this house of worship since it's been built. But oh, it's a question if ever one has ever been wrought upon. Oh, that God would arise in these days in which we live. Oh, that he would send forth such apostles, such men, gifted with his blessed Spirit to preach the word, and upon whose preaching his blessing would rest. Oh, that the Lord would bless this feeble instruction that I have given you out of this portion of his word, and that you may go home and say, Lord, I'm over 40. Oh, I'm on the way to eternity. I've heard of a man this afternoon. Thou did wonderfully and miraculously cure him. Oh, won't you cure me, Lord? Won't you heal me? Oh, go home, my hearers. Kneel before this glorious Jesus and beg him to do spiritually what he did naturally to this man. And who knows, who can tell what may take place? That's all for today.